That's why the young people are going out. I'd just like to read to you from Acts 19, verses 1 through 7. And then Carl's going to give us a little prequel to the message. So Acts 19, verses 1 through 7. Ephesians receive the Holy Spirit. While Apollos was at Corinth, Paul passed through the upper regions and came to Ephesus. He found some disciples and said to them, "Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed?" They said to him, "No, we've not heard that there is a Holy Spirit." He said to them, "Into what then were you baptized?" They said, "Into John's baptism." Paul said, "John indeed baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people that they should believe in the one coming after him, that is, in Christ Jesus." When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in other tongues.
Great, thank you, Graham. Well, that reading at the beginning mentioned Apollos, and I want to start by talking a little bit about Apollos so you can read more about him by reading back the verses just at the end of chapter 18. Because Apollos was a learned man, well educated, been to a good school, a Jewish believer, and had also heard about Jesus, and heard about Jesus enough that with his good Jewish education was able to tell other people about Jesus. Fantastic, brilliant. And he was able to use his education to do that, and he also seemed to have an energy to do that, which is even better. So he was telling people about Jesus with his education and with the energy that he found within himself. And that was brilliant. But it wasn't enough. There was something missing. You see, it was great that he could tell people about Jesus. It was great that he could use his good pedigree Jewish education. But there was still a gap. There was still something missing. It was not all quite that God had intended. Now, a Christian couple called Priscilla and Aquila took him aside and discipled him further, because they worked out that this guy Apollos knew only the baptism of John. We'll explain what that is a little later this morning. Only the baptism of John, which is about preparing yourself for God and being ready for him. But Priscilla and Aquila knew that there was so much more for Apollos to enter into. There was much, much more for him to experience and take with him into his telling people about Jesus. There was the greater things of Jesus and the Holy Spirit to introduce him to. Well, how did they do that, I wonder? Well, I suspect that they probably worked with Apollos by taking him back to the story of Jesus Christ, his life, death, and resurrection. And that's what we're going to do now with communion. I'll hand back over to Graham, who will take us back through the story of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. That we become like springs, like brooks that just keep on flowing your goodness and your glory wherever we go. This is what you are pleased to do. Amen. Please do take a seat. Well, while Priscilla and Aquila were busy bringing on Apollos and explaining more adequately, as Luke writes in Acts, Paul was off on other travels. And on those travels, he bumps into some blokes. And there are times when Paul can be pretty blunt and direct. And he says to these blokes, "Have you received the Holy Spirit?" And the blokes looked at him with a blank stare and said, "Huh? What are you talking about? I haven't even heard there's a Holy Spirit. What is this?" They'd never heard of the Holy Spirit. You see, these believers, like Apollos, only knew the baptism of John, preparing themselves for God. Now, to understand all this, let's backtrack from these guys, from this guy John the Baptist, who did the baptism of John. Let's backtrack from them hundreds of years back down the timeline, back to the time of people like Noah and Abraham, way, way back in the Old Testament. Remember, we looked at these chaps earlier this year, around about February, March time. You can look it up on the web. And the point about these guys, Noah and Abraham, is that God gave them promises. Do you remember there's a special word for these promises? This desire of God to go with these people. It's called covenant. God's saying that I choose you and I choose to go with you, making these wonderful promises to them. And he said to Abraham in particular, he said, "Look, you Abraham, you're going to have loads of children, grandchildren, the whole works, big family, whole nation. And through all those people, I'm going to bring blessing to many, to the whole world." That was some covenants. And with that, God said, "Look, I will be resident among you. I will live among you and your people so that they can be a blessing to many." And he gave Abraham a covenant sign. It was actually something that was just done with the males only, male circumcision, but a bit strange from our point of view, but it was a covenant sign. If we go to the first slide, please, Ollie, it will be on there. And it was a sign of belonging. Said to Abraham, "Look, you and your male children and other people have this sign, and that will show that you belong to this promise that I'm giving you." The covenant sign, a sign of belonging. Log that thought in your brain because you'll need that later on. A sign of belonging. Now, we all know that in the grand scheme of things, actually, over time, it didn't work out quite so well. Because we as people have this disastrous ability to get things wrong and do things wrong and go our own way and ignore the wonderful promises of God. And we have this ability to just build this massive wall between us and God. And that's what people did all through those hundreds of years, and we are good at doing the same thing as well. This wall that separates and divides between people and God. And even if people twig that this is not a good thing, this is bad, and they try and dismantle the wall, they do not succeed. And they, no matter how hard we try, we cannot take this wall down. But God can. God can dismantle the wall. And that brings us back, if we wind up, then we're back Noah and Abraham back here. Let's go forward hundreds of years back to this chap, John the Baptist, who was around right at the beginning of the start of Jesus' ministry. And John the Baptist anticipated God taking down the wall. He knew that God was going to do that. God had shown John the Baptist this is what he was going to do. And John the Baptist went around telling people, "God's about to take down the wall. Get yourself ready." And in those days, the Jewish people had developed different rituals. And one of their rituals was every now and again to take a bath. Sounds like teenagers, doesn't it? Every now and again, take a bath. to cleanse themselves, to make themselves ready for God, a ritual washing. So it was not hard for John the Baptist to say to people, come with me, let me give you a bath, dip you in the river, because that's what they had to dip in, and cleanse yourselves, prepare yourselves, get ready for God. And that is the baptism of John. Next slide, please, Ollie, on there. This ritual washing, this preparing yourself for God. The baptism of John. But actually, John was a bit smarter than that. You see, John knew that just dipping yourself in the murky waters of a river Jordan probably wasn't gonna cut it. Good thing to do, good spiritual exercise to do, but actually wasn't actually gonna deal with all that badness that we all have inside of ourselves. John knew that that was only going to be dealt with by this person, Jesus, God come in the flesh, that John knew he was going to come. And so when Jesus did appear and came out to meet with John, straight away John looked up and said, there's the one. There's the one who we've been waiting for. There's the one I've been telling you about to prepare yourself for. He will sort things out for each and every one of us who turn to him. And so he kind of said, look, I'm baptizing and I'll finish the end of the queue now. But once I'm done here, I'm going to hand over. My job is done. I'm going to hand over to Jesus. Let Jesus or his followers start baptizing you, because it's all about him. I need to just disappear now because I'm done here. And so he handed over to Jesus. Next slide. The baptism of Jesus, which was people now saying, yeah, actually, I kind of get this, or at least I get enough of it to make a decision. I want to follow Jesus. And so I'll be dipped in the river, baptized by Jesus or his followers, as a sign that I am now turning my life around and I am following Jesus. Because John's given me this hint that somehow Jesus is going to sort out the stuff inside of my life. And that's what I need. That's what I want. That's the baptism of Jesus. As it was in AD 30 or whenever it was, with those first followers. Choosing to follow him. Dipping in the water. But the news of today is that there is so much more than that. Even though what I've just explained is a wonderful, wonderful thing, there is so much more than that. Let's again go back to Noah and Abraham. God's desire with them and their descendants was to have a people who belonged to God. To have a people who God himself could live among. And those people could shine out and be a witness and a testimony to the rest of the world. But now, with Jesus, God in the flesh coming to people, God wanted to do something through Jesus' life, death and resurrection that remixed that to a whole new level, took that whole being resident among business to a whole new dimension. So big, so wonderful compared to the original, but the original and the new thing, they're almost unrecognizable between each other. Remixing it to a whole new thing. You see, because God's desire was that now he wouldn't just be resident among the people, like having a special place, like a temple in Jerusalem, where if you wanted to find God, you would go to that special place to meet with God. He didn't just want to be in one special place, like a temple, resident among the people. No, now God wanted to live in each and every believer, in their lives. That's a whole order of magnitude bigger than the previous deal of resident among. Every believer has God himself resident in their lives and going with them. So now if others want to meet God, they don't come to a special place, they don't come to a special building, they don't come to a special temple, they just bump into a believer. Because God is in the believer, and so by bumping into them, they can meet with God. You see how cosmically different this new deal is. That every believer might host God for other people to come across and experience and for God to overflow to their lives. That, next slide please, Ollie, comes about with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Empowered by God, God choosing to take residence in believers' lives. And that was what John hinted at when Jesus appeared. John was baptizing people, dipping them in the River Jordan, but he said, look, there's the one, there's Jesus. I can make you wet, but this guy, he's going to baptize you in the Holy Spirit and fire. The presence of God himself is going to engulf you if you align yourself with Jesus and follow him. And Jesus himself has said the same thing to his disciples. He said, wait for the Holy Spirit. Don't be tempted to just rush off and try and do some of the good stuff that I've shown you. Wait for the Holy Spirit. Wait for God to come in and start to become resident in your lives. And overflow, fill you up with God. So that you can then go out and be the witness that I know you can be in and around the world. God filling people with himself. People waiting to be commissioned. And so that's what those early Christians experienced. And Graham talks about it as this passage in Acts 2, and the first Christians experienced with all that wind whooshing business and the fire and all that. That's exactly what they experienced. They were filled up with God. And once that happened, things completely changed. And they went out and witnessed in wonderful ways. And so that's why later on, when they bumped into guys like Apollos, or these other guys who go, never heard there's a Holy Spirit, that's why they weren't content to leave them in that state. That's why they said, they didn't say, oh, that's okay, you've never heard of the Holy Spirit, never mind, we'll get to that another day. No, they said, no, you need to understand this, you need yourself to be properly following Jesus and be filled up with God. Because why would you settle for less? Why would you be content with anything but being filled up with God? What would make you even think that that might be a good idea to not be filled up with God? Because once you've experienced just a little bit of being filled up with God, you would never go back to the old. Do you remember the days before we had broadband internet? You had dial-up modems and all that business and that and the slow downloads. But then once you got broadband, you would never go back to a dial-up modem, would you? You would never do it. Well, that's just a tiny shard of an image of what it's like to be only stuck way back at the baptism of John compared to the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You would never settle for that less if you knew the possibility of being filled up with God and what that was like. So that's why Priscilla, Aquila, Paul and the others, whenever they met people like this, they said, let us sit down, rehearse the story and pray with you. to be filled. You see, what people like Apollos needed was not information. They needed transformation. You see, Apollos, he was well educated. He knew lots of stuff, good stuff, but he didn't need to know any more stuff. He didn't need more information. He needed his life changing. And only God can do that by filling with the Holy Spirit. He needed transformation. The same with the other guys that Paul met on his journey. If you remember nothing from this morning but one thing, remember this one thing. Discipleship, following Jesus, is not simply learning more and more and more about Jesus, about God and the church. So that is good. I don't want to knock that. But it's not simply just learning more and more information. Discipleship is also about transformation. Our lives changing as God fills us up more and more with God. At a conference a couple of years ago, I heard a wonderful different definition of discipleship. I don't know what definition you have of discipleship in your mind, but try this one. Your lifelong journey of following Jesus is one of getting rid of anything that might block the Holy Spirit. Getting rid of anything that might block the Holy Spirit. So as God fills you with His Spirit and draws attention to stuff, and you realize, yeah, actually that needs to be changed, that needs to go, I need to rethink that, I need to rework that, so that more of the Spirit can come into my life. I want to get rid of anything that might block the Holy Spirit. That's my discipleship journey going forward. Now, when the Holy Spirit comes on people, it has to be said that things happen. And physical things can happen. Strange things sometimes can happen. But think about it. Why wouldn't things happen? If the whole presence of the living God is meeting your body, your cells, your DNA, your muscle, your bone, your tissue, don't you think there might be some kind of reaction if the living God should meet with you? That something might happen. And that's what people experienced. But here's the thing, those physical things that can happen and people speaking out and other stuff, they show us that maybe the Spirit is at work, but they themselves are not the main thing. They're helpful. They kind of act like little indicator lights on our control panel of what's going on here. But they are not the main thing. They're just indicator lights that God is working His greater transformation on the inside of you, empowering for ministry. You see, Apollos, after his work with Priscilla and Aquila, wanted to venture out. He wanted to go to new places to tell people about Jesus. And Priscilla and Aquila could then encourage him, yeah, go and do that in the Spirit's power. And the people that Paul met, they started speaking in other languages, just like in Acts 2. And they started prophesying. Remember, simple definition of prophesy, telling people the wonders of God. They started speaking out some wonderful things about God. So there's an out direction to the Spirit's work in people. So this week, new slide please, Ollie, we go to our new key question, which is an out question, strangely enough, which is, where is God empowering you to minister? Where does He want you to minister. We'll come on to the challenge in a moment. You see, every one of us in this room will be aware of situations, whether it's at school or home or the office, a playground or maybe other parts of the country, where we see brokenness, where we see things that are not right, and there is something good in us that wants to do something about that brokenness. That's a good thing. But here's the deal. You yourself, no matter how well-intended you are, how educated you are, how clever, how strong you are, how much you want to change those things, you yourself cannot change those things. But with the Spirit of God resident in you, things can start to change. Where is God empowering you to minister? We need to learn to minister in the power of the Holy Spirit, pure and simple. That's why we do things like we do tonight with the Gifts Workshop, where we just come and have some teaching and then practice, literally hands-on, actual exercises of praying with people and experience the Spirit moving and empowering us to minister in His power. Because on our own, we cannot change things, but with the Spirit in us, things can start to change. And that's why we meet tonight at 7 o'clock. But while I'm on the subject of the Gifts Workshop tonight, can I just step into rant mode? So government health warning here. Pastor is about to have a rant. It won't last long. But if I can just say, I have observed at these Gifts Workshops that the people who attend are predominantly women. What is that? What is that about? Where's the blokes? Do the blokes not think that they need the Spirit to minister? Do the blokes not think that the work of the Holy Spirit is for them? Do the blokes think that they've got it all sorted and they know how to minister and they know how to work in every situation and it all goes wonderfully well? What is that about? What I'd want to say to the guys here today is man up. And come and practice and learn and experience the power of the Spirit ministering through you and learn how to do that. And use things like the Gifts Workshop as a place to experience and grow in that. Does a super athlete who's proficient at their sport become proficient without doing training and exercise? Does a special ops army person or police officer in a special squad do their special ops without doing training and exercise? I don't think so. So man up and come and take part in the training and exercises. Experience the Spirit working for you. We need blokes to minister in the power of the Spirit. End of rant mode. Back to the message. Now I know that when I talk about reaching out and this outward component and witnessing and just kind of being a person ministering for Jesus out at the school gate or the office or whatever, I know I can kind of guess what a lot of you immediately start thinking. I know that in your mind you immediately start computing like, oh yes, that whole kind of witness and evangelism thing. Yes, I'm, as a Christian, I'm really supposed to do that. I'll try and find some energy. Carl says again that we should do that. So we'll try and find some energy. I'll try and have a go this week. I know that many of you probably compute in this way and think, yeah, I ought to do this. And so I'll try and do that. But let me actually say this morning something a bit radical and alternative. I don't want you to do that. Because if you do that, then all that is me kind of giving you a pep talk and you trying to respond and summoning up the energy and the enthusiasm and trying to go and do it. But actually, that's not what it is about. It's actually about coming before God and saying to Jesus, I want to be closer to you. I want my life more aligned with you. I want to be so close to you. I can hear your heartbeat. I can feel your breath on me. And for God to breathe on you and become resident in your life and empower you. You see, if you open yourself and allow yourself to be an open, willing vessel in that way and desire to be closer to Jesus, I think that the result of that process of God filling you with Spirit and the baptism of the Spirit will make you naturally want to go out. That you will find yourself empowered and desiring to go out whether you thought it was a good idea or not, because that is the Father's heart and it will be working and beating with your heart. That was a chap called Isaiah who wrote one of those big chunky prophetic books in the Old Testament. That was his experience. He sought God, and you remember he had this incredible vision of God, and he saw the throne room of God, and in that throne room there was this mysterious heavenly voice that came across, said, there's a message that needs to be preached. Who will go? And straight away Isaiah puts his hand up and says, I will go. Empower me to go. That was his experience. By seeking God, found himself naturally empowered and wanting to go. That is the experience of Christians today up and down this country who are going to the streets and literally accosting people with actually quite a blunt question, I would say, about people's belief in God and their sense of eternity and their relationship with him. And they are finding that many people respond, every couple of people who go out to the streets for just an hour or 90 minutes probably get one conversation where someone responds and invites Jesus into their lives out on the streets. What, how do they do that? Because it just doesn't make sense in our culture for that to work. Well, the night before, they spend at least a couple of hours seeking the presence of Jesus. Seeking to be closer to Jesus. And then the next morning, when they go out on the streets, they find these conversations naturally arise. That's why the challenge is seek to be ever closer to Jesus. That will empower you. Now, seek to be ever closer to Jesus. That should ring a bell. That's one of our four now habits for growth. Discipline of off, share and walk, ever closer to Jesus. Make it your habit to seek to be ever closer to Jesus. And allow him to empower you. Just one final thing to say about this empowering is that it does another thing. It enables you to know that you belong. Let me ask, with children, how do you communicate to them that they belong to the family? Well, you could show them the birth certificate, I suppose, or whatever. But you give them a hug, do you not? You don't need words, you don't need anything clever, you just need to give them a hug. And that communicates to your children that they belong. This is the experience that people talk about when they have experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit, being filled with the Spirit. They know from that moment on that they belong. If we could go to the next and last slide, please, Ollie. The baptism of the Holy Spirit also acts as a seal, a covenant sign that you belong. Which kind of takes us full circle back to that original covenant sign that you belong. So that's why it's good practice to seek Jesus, to be closer to him and allow him to fill you up with God with his Spirit and see what happens. To know that you belong. Why don't we stand to pray and receive the musicians who will get themselves ready. Now here's a sting. There's not actually any magic switch that one can flick. Why Jesus said you have to wait for the Spirit of God. So we're just going to be quiet and wait. You may want to, if you're able to stand with your hands out, a position of receiving. And we will just wait on Him, Sovereign Lord. Be pleased to fill us this morning with your Spirit in a fresh way, maybe for the first time, for the nth time, it doesn't matter. Because we just need more of you. May we come closer to you. And be pleased to receive you, God, in our lives, that you may be resident in us. Come now, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.